Okay. All right. So thanks for the invitation. I really come from Michigan. I really enjoy the weather here. My only question to you is, how can you get any work done with this weather? You know. Is that right? Okay. So we can get work done tomorrow then. Okay. So I'm going to present the old Atlas discovery results, and Tom is going to talk about new discovery on Thursday. So we want to get the old results out of the way so you can consider your new results. Okay, so the results I'm going to talk about today are based on data sample, data we took 2011 at 7 TeV and 2012 at 8 TeV. Now, I think the PP run is over. We record about this year 21.7 inverse Fresnel bars. And for ICAP, we analyze 5.8 inverse Fresnel bars. For HCP, we analyze 13 inverse Fresnel bars. So this is going to be a data set that can stick around for the next few years. So the Higgs search analysis in Atlas are organized into different decay channels. And two most important ones, Higgs to gamma, gamma, Higgs to four leptons, these are so-called high resolution channels. And then nothing missing from Higgs decays. So you have full reconstruction. You have very good mass resolution. I'm not going to say much about that. And these two analyses was not updated for HCP. And they are the victims of their own success, and have, you know, when you have a very high mass resolution. So instead, I'm going to focus on the low mass resolution channels, so we cannot say much about the mass. Higgs to VB, Higgs to TauTau, and Higgs to WW. And those three channels are updated at HCP with a 13 inverse Fresnel bar. And the Tom, of course, is going to tell you greatest, latest results on gamma, gamma, and the full lepton. But I want to show one slide of what we showed for gamma, gamma, and ZZ at HCP. These are just discovery results, remind you. And for the gamma, gamma, we observe excess at 126.5 GeV with statistical significance 4.5. And the rate, normal standard model, is 1.8 plus minus 0.5. It's higher than we expected from the standard model. For the full lepton, same thing. We see excess around 125 GeV with significance 3.6 sigmas, and the best fit signal strength is 1.4. So that's all I'm going to say about the high resolution channels. And next, I'm going to focus on the low resolution channel, which will update for HCP. First, I want to talk about Higgs to WW decay to dileptons. And you know this, so I'm not going to go talk about everything on the slide. Now, this channel is really a precision search. And when people talk about precision measurement and searches, this is really precision search because we have to understand every little background in details because signal is so small. Actually, it's not that small signal. The problem is the background too large. So for the HCP analysis, we analyzed 13 inverse Fresnel bar 2012 data. And we have results for 0 jets, 1 jet. The 2 jets analysis was not approved. And speak of a rate here, you can see we have in this sample, we have 2,900 events in this sample, signal events. And that's not a small number. But look at this background. Every imaginable process except the QCD jets are background process. So one of the things we do is for this net to reduce background is do analysis in jet beams. So because showing here is the number of jets. Jet multiple distribution, you can see at high jet multiple beams is dominated by the top. So most of our synthetic come from zero jets. And for the zero jets, you can see main background stemware WW and Jiu Yang and a little bit of top. And other small backgrounds are very important because they are small, but the topology is very much like signals. And the signals you cannot see on this graph. So we do this analysis in zero jet, 1 jet, 2 jet beams. And we calculate a signal cross section jet beams using Monte Carlo. We take total cross sections and determine fraction of events in zero jet, 1 jet from Monte Carlo simulations. And then, yeah.
But I couldn't see the signal.
There's no signal here. It's too small. This is pre-selection. So it can be dominated by background. And so the uncertainty under the cross section we calculate independently from exclusive jet beam cross sections follow the Stewart and Tuckerman procedures. And one thing I want to point out, for inclusive cross sections, of course, we know reasonable way, but uncertainty about 8% from scales. And TDF are also about 8%. But if you look at the 1 jets here, it's 20%. And 2 jets, And two jets here, if you take this neck-to-neck linear calculus cross-section, but two jets leading order, so you have a huge answer than 70%. So when we do this, actually this becomes dominant uncertainty, I will show you later. So experimentally for 2012, it's pretty challenging because we have a large pi up. You know, our average pi up is on the order of 20 or so. And so this leads to degraded missing tree resolution and Z-Julian background, which, you know, Z-Julian background have high cross section, become a major challenge. So instead, we focus on emu channels so that Z-Julian background less problem. We're divided into emu, mu, e, depending on which lepton is leading, and separate in three jelly beans. We do pre-selection, typically you require two leptons missing ET. Showing here is missing ET distributions. After two lepton selection, you can see we model data reasonably well. And after zero jets, our background still, our sample is still dominated by background, so we have to apply some topological selection to enhance signals. One of the cuts requires, you know, the dielectron system has to be boosted. Dielectron mass less than 50 GeV, look at the low mass, and data file of between two leptons more open, less than 1.8. This, and as those cuts are motivated by low mass selections. Showing here is PT of dielectron system before the cut. You can see it's green here is Z-Julian, blue is WW, and the signal is red on top. You can see very little. And if you cut like 30 GeV, you can reject most of Z-Julian. That's the dielectron mass distribution of the PTLL cut, and signal slightly enhanced, now the background is completely dominated by WW. So we have a lot of background. One of the background I want to mention is, you know, we have like the non-WW background. Actually, they are small, but they are very important because they are very much signal-like. So mostly we're determined from Monte Carlos. And that's a particular background, W gamma and W gamma star, which I will mention briefly here. And also the W plus jets, which was one lepton from jet faking. And those that have fake lepton, this background determined from the data. Now, if you look at non-WW background, diboson background, and the W plus jets background, this background contributes to both same sign, opposite sign, dielectron events. So sort of you can validate your background estimate using the same sign events showing here, this data file between two leptons. And after the lepton missing the cut, you can see your sample is completely dominated by the WZZ, W gamma star, and with significant contribution from W plus jets. Same thing here is the transverse mass distributions. You can see the major contribution from W gamma star, and W plus jets. Now, for WW and top background, those backgrounds are actually relatively easy to estimate. And for WW, we sort of estimate, we take shape from Monte Carlo always, and we take normalization from data control regions. So what we do is, for WW, for example, we require a WW control region, which will reverse sort of a dielectron mass cut. We look at high mass regions and get to the normalization, and then extrapolate to a low mass region, which is our signal region, using this extrapolation parameter from Monte Carlo. And that's, of course, depending on shape of the mass distribution. Turns out that this gives us quite a large systematic uncertainty when we look at different Monte Carlo, about 7%. Same thing for top. Top, you know, look at one jet's nest, you just, in the signal region, require B-veto. Jets have to be non-B-tagged. And to enhance top contribution, you just reverse that B-veto, require B-tagged, and you see the sample is pure top. And you get normalization here, and then you extrapolate to signal region. That's right. That's right. You can. No, that's fine. This is just showing the, you know, normalization from the Monte Carlo prediction is not quite right. So we scale up. Yeah, for example, WW here, we had a scale of about 10% or so. And from control region, and we apply scale factor to signal region. And top, same thing. Top, I think it's about 7%. This is without any scale. This plot, from this plot, determines scale factor.
I mean, there is a scale. I mean, you take the data, and you take the prediction, and you scale up. And you take the
signal region, right. So this is control.
Scale. I mean, you take the scale
Right. Here is just take the here distribution, this control region, just take a predicted distribution from Monte Carlo cross section we use. Right. And showing that clearly, you know. That's absolute prediction from Monte Carlo, right. And then when we go to signal region, we take into account this scale. Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's the reason. Yeah. So we measure WW cross section, you know, about 10% higher than the expected calculate.
You scale this up by 10%. How good is the agreement?
It's pretty good, actually. When you look at it, no, 10% larger is very small here. You if you look at the, I don't have a data Monte Carlo ratio plot. You know, when you scale up, it's a pretty good agreement. We have this so-called Kolmogorov test statistic. It's usually a very high probability. And we do have a Monte Carlo. I should mention, you know, this is a Paar-Hägg Monte Carlo. For WW, we do see 7% difference between Paar-Hägg and MC on LO when we do extrapolating from high mass to low mass. That's an MT shape difference, which you would take into account. That's become one of the largest systematics in WW modeling, which we don't understand. All right, so at the end, we're using our discriminant as a transverse mass distribution. And here's one, after all the selection, one jets and zero jets and one jets. And the background staggered histogram in blue, you see backgrounds can be dominated by WW standard model, and the signal is showing here in red, for similar for one jet case. If you just look at raw numbers, this is after rescaling. The background, everything background, now we look at signal region, the background rescaled. Okay? So here is summary of background, and we expect like 45 signal events in zero jets. And total background, we expect 334, observe 423. So we see access here. Same thing for one jet, we see access. You can see here. If you look at this distribution, in fact, you can see the access is higher than expected from standard model. And we don't really cut on MT transverse mass distribution. We do a fit to extract the results. This fit gave us an improvement about 15-20% in sensitivity. Now, one thing I want to mention, systematics. If you look at our dominant systematics, right now for this analysis, and theoretical uncertainty already on signal already dominate the is become dominant systematics. One of the main thing is the cross section, theoretical cross section. When we calculate in jet beams, and that's into the larger cross section. For a zero jet case, you can see the 13% from inclusive ground fusion cross section, and 10% from one jet cross section. And then we have modeling and factors, theoretical model, you know, WW modeling, this overall to background 5%. And this normal to the total background.
Well, what does this mean, theoretical model?
This is when we extrapolate from control region to signal region, we have these extrapolating parameters, the ratio signal region control region determined from Monte Carlo, which is different. And if you look at it, it's different by 7%. But the relative total background in that channel is 5%. Because WW is about 80% of the background. Okay. So for WW, we're already limited by Monte Carlo by the theoretical uncertainties. And theoretical uncertainty, I have quotes here because some of these like PDF uncertainties and the parton showering, this underlying events modeling, these are all Monte Carlo related uncertainties. So put together, you look at the results, data Monte Carlo, data minus background compared to the signals, 125 G signal, and our observed, we see a 2.6 sigma significance, and measured the signal strength 1.5, and plus the uncertainty breakdown, you can see the first statistics, the largest one, theoretical uncertainties, systematics, okay? So what we're trying to do now for this channel is try to change control regions and try to minimize some control regions are better model than others to minimize the extrapolation uncertainty from the control regions. So next, let me move to Higgs to BB. Higgs to BB has largest branch ratios at 125 GeV. It's more than 50%. But for the dominant production ground-ground fusion, VBF, and there's no leptons in the decay chain, and that's overwhelmed by QCD background. So we need leptons to tag the events, either charged leptons or neutrinos. So this is given by the social production, WZ, in association with the Higgs. So we're looking for W decay to lepton neutrinos and Z decay to lepton pair, both charged and neutral. So we're looking at ZH, which give us Z decay to neutrino pair, and this is zero leptons, and one lepton WH, and two leptons ZH. In the two lepton case, there's no missing T. In other two cases, we have missing T. So look at the event rate, total event rate in 13 inverse Fender bar, and these are number of events total before any selection, any triggers. And the number of events are not small either. And so the background, again, so the background WZ plus jets, this is the most background accurate. You know, jets can be light jets, B quark and C quarks, top pairs, dibosons, and multiple jets. Now, to improve sensitivities, we try to we bring the analysis in Higgs PT. Higgs PT, we're using like missing ET in the CH case to represent the Higgs PT, and also PT of the factor bosons as the a proxy for the Higgs PT. So in different Higgs PT beams, because at high Higgs PT beams, signal background ratio is much better than low PT beams. And the selection is very complicated. I just flash it over. You know, typically we require like for W case, we require the transfer mass had to be less than 120 GeV to select the W decays. For dielectron case, we require W mass to be within the C mass windows. But the most importantly, for all these channels, we require two B-tagged jets to from select events from Higgs decays. And so we have pre-selections, and then we look at a category-dependent selection, explore the topologies. And these are very complicated analysis for very small signal rate. Just one slide quickly for W plus jets background. We cannot really take from the color prediction because particularly heavy flavor jets production associated with W and Z are not well predicted. So what do we do is we take the shape. Shape here is a dB bar mass distribution from data or from simulations, and then we fit normalizations using the data control regions. Control region is pre-tagged, no B jets, and one tagged samples. And then we look at those normalization normalized to Monte Carlos. These are so-called scaling factors. And so we apply this scale factor to our Monte Carlo predictions. So normalization is given from data, shape is from Monte Carlo. Again, so this busy table, I don't want to read this table, but I want to point out this is very difficult analysis. Signal background ratio is very small, 1 to 3%. Now, this is a bit unfair because this is integrated over the whole mass range. And if you look at the mass range, and you get probably improved by factor 2 or so signal background ratio. So just give you an example, this is the final, the MB bar distribution for zero leptons, the highest PT beams. And you see a signal in red here. It's very tiny, okay, way within the uncertainties. And same thing for the one leptons and two leptons. And when you look at this, clearly each individual channel, you don't have much sensitivity. Okay, but we have a lot of channels, and everything, little things add up. And also you can try, for this particular channel, actually you have very nice control analysis. You can look for diboson production, WZZZ with Z decay to BB bar, which have similar signatures as a signal, except the mass is shifted at low, towards low value at Z, and the rate is 5 times high. Okay, so before you really convince yourself, you can search for Higgs in channel. In this channel, you want to see whether you can see diboson production. In fact, we do see diboson production. We carry out the same analysis, now treat the diboson signals, and here's data minus background, everything exclude the WZ, WZ and ZZ. And you can see we see clear access, and this gives us like a significance for sigmas for the WZ production with signal strength consistent with we expect from standard model. Now, unlike a WW case, which were dominated by theoretical systematic uncertainties. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, most cuts are similar. No, no. This most cuts. I think most cuts is similar. I'm not sure whether job or summer. It's a very similar analysis.
Well, I would say, you couldn't say anything about whether
it's present
or not.
That's right. I'll show you. Yeah, I show you. Your conclusion is right. So this channel is dominated by experimental systematics. Okay, so from theoretical point of view, the only thing, actually main thing, is the Higgs PT distribution, because we're doing that in Higgs PT beams. So associated production, right, in particular high Higgs PT beams, we have a very good, a reasonable good signal background ratios. Showing here, and that's actually Higgs PT, you know, one of the dominant systematics, theory systematics. And the others just when the car modeling, like W plus B quark production, Z plus B quark production, those is not well understood. So in terms of sensitivity, indeed, we don't see any excess in this case. Actually, we don't really have much sensitivities. We say limit, and the limit, the current limit is about 2 times, 1.8 times to standard model. And you can see, you say, what's signal strength if you go ahead and fit? There's no signal, okay, in this channel. We don't have sensitivity right now. Okay, let's move to the tau. Higgs tau is important, actually, at 125 year, Higgs decay to tau with about 6% branch ratios. That's important because this is likely the only fermion final states from Higgs decay for Y. You know, people looking for Higgs decay to mu mu, that's even harder. Not harder experimentally, but the rate is small. So we're looking at three final states, depending on how Higgs decay, how tau decays. So we have dark lepton channels, one lepton, and zero lepton channels. And we identify taus, hydronic taus, from, you know, one or three prong decays, collimated energies, and we're using advanced technique, BDTs, for the tau identification. The main background this is obviously C decay to tau, because we don't have very good mass resolution. And we estimate using so-called embedding techniques. And then others, like multi-just background, where you estimate from same sign events with some corrections. So at the end, we calculate the tau mass distribution using so-called missing mass calculator. And missing mass calculator is basically is an advanced version, improved version of the collinear approximation. In the collinear approximation, you assume the neutrinos and the visible object from tau decay, they are in the same direction. And in this calculation, we don't assume they're in the same direction. We give it a probability distribution according to this kinematics, like the angle between visible object and neutrinos. And we pick the solution sort of with maximum probability. That improves the resolution somewhat. So at the end, our dye tau mass resolution is between 13 to 20%, depending on the decay mode. So another thing different to estimate C2 total background, we don't take it from Monte Carlo, although actually turns out Monte Carlo gave pretty good predictions. What we do is we select C decay to mu mu, C gamma, you know, Z is including off-shell gammas to mu mu, and we in the data, and we replace muon, take muon out, and replace with simulated tau decays. So and in this case, everything will pile up underlying events models from data. Okay, you do that, and then you do a real reconstruction. And showing here is missing mass calculator for M tau, and compare Monte Carlo simulation with embedded calculation. You can see they agree very well. So Monte Carlo, in fact, in this case, does a decent job. The NAS is even more complicated than Higgs to BB. In the three final states, so we divide into different categories. I just go through a dark lepton case. We have a NAS target for VBF topologies, which you have two tag jets, widely separated in eta, and a larger digest mass. And then we're looking for a specific this VH production topology. Again, you have two jets. Except those two jets from WZ decays, you require those two jets mass to be consistent with WZs. And the two jets tend to have small separation in data eta. And then we look for boosted topology. In other words, look at these Higgs are highly boosted, high PT regions, and require PT tau pair greater than 800 GeV. And also, we have one jet analysis. And we had a zero jet analysis. Zero jet analysis, really signal background, which is really very low. It's really out of little. And we didn't continue for 2012. Same thing for. Yeah, this one just is ground fusion. Yeah. So for lepton hadron, we have similar four categories, and NASA done slightly different because it's just different group people doing different NASAs and other way of coordinating. For hadrons, we must focus on VBF and the boosted topologies. Now here I just these are not based on VBF trigger. These are based on lepton triggers, lepton missing ET. But we're studying on the VBF trigger, mainly motivated by the invisible Higgs decays, because there's no lepton in that case. Right now, it's based on lepton trigger.
So the one category there on the preceding page,
would
you say that's
100%
fusion?
One jet, it's mostly ground, I don't know, 100%, it's mostly ground fusion. I think for one jet case, probably between 80 or 90%, my guess.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, is this written down somewhere?
That's, I'm not sure. Probably not that details in public document.
Okay. Yeah.
I can tell you.
I don't know whether you were here yesterday, but one of my requests for this meeting was that the experimentalists provide that kind of detail so that we could know how to compare theory to experiment.
Yeah. We can talk about in most cases this kind of detail probably can get privately. I should be careful because Tom's here and I would run into trouble. Yeah. Yeah, one jet, I'm not sure we do that. Two jets, we know. Two jets case, we typically, it's like 70% VBF, 30% the ground fusion contamination.
At this point, if you already make a statement about two jets, you should be able to release the same statement about one jet. Right?
Yeah, in principle, yes. That's actually, the gluon-gluon contributions have large uncertainty because the classic, two jets gluon-gluon is the leading or calculating effectively.
Can you quantify that in any way?
Well, that's hopefully, I say I need help from theorists to reduce the quantified theoretic uncertainty. These are not our measurements, this just come from the.
Your Monte Carlo that you use gives you some number,
right? Right. Yeah, we can, at least we can talk about what you'd like to have, whether we can provide or not, and that's publicly, that's a different story. Okay, this NASA is much even more complicated than Higgs to BB, and you can see the selections. Just look at the table, look at all these selections, and you wonder what kind of sensitivity you get, actually. You look at signal background ratios, and for VBF, two jet NASAs, we have the best one, 5 to 10% at most. And for other channels, it's like about 1% or less. And of course, this is a bit unfair because this integrated over the whole dipole mass range, and what we're interested in really around 125 GeV. But that's tell you the scale of the challenges. I just showed you this VBF, so finding the mass distribution after all cut for the VBF channels for the three final states for dileptons. And you can see the background stacked histogram signals, these two-time signals. You can see from this dilepton channel, you see you have some access. By eye, you can tell the access. But you look at the single leptons and channels, and you can see you have deficit. And you look at the both hadronic decay channels, you see you have deficit, right? So when you combine And for this, for VBF case, you combine, you know, you see excess in two leptons, deficit in one lepton, the zero leptons, you combine, you have neither excess or no deficit. If you look at the limit plot, right on top, expected, observed. Okay, so we're dealing with small statistics. We're dealing with statistic fluctuation in this case. All right, so we combine all the chain together, and we see small excess, and so observed limit is above the expected from background only, so it's like about 1.1 sigmas. Yeah, this is a combined VBF, you know, the other so channel. The previous slide only talked about two just NASes. Yeah, we have no signal in this case, look at this in VBF, but we have signals from non-VBF search, you know, boosted and one jets, all the other, oh wait, signal I had to create. It's one sigma, it's not signal, okay? So, you know, if you quantify over accessing tau tau, it's like your mu string factor is 0.7 plus or minus 0.7. So consistent with Higgs, consistent with no Higgs. So, all right, so that's status for the fermion. So finally, I have a few slides on the combinations. Yes, I will show one slide, one plot. Right.
And for the VBF plus V Higgs,
right.
Sort of a minus number plus or minus, is that right?
Yeah, I will show you the contour actually in combination. All the tau channel combined. Yeah, everything. Everything combined. But, you know, you look at this NAS, look at this statistical dealing with so complicated, so small, you know, signal so small. It's you have to be careful, and you know, you can manufacture signals, you can make signal go away. So we need more data, but unfortunately we're not getting much more data of this one. All right, so the combination now, we are moving beyond these significances and the p-values, and I think no question that we have a new particle. Maybe Tom can tell you more. So first thing is you look at the mass and the signal strength, and so showing here is a contour, 2D contour plot of Higgs mass versus signal strength for three channels, three discovery channels. You can see the gamma and four lepton give you best mass estimate. WW has no information about mass. Yeah, this WW is 13 inverse Fermilab, and gamma is four lepton is discovery 5.8. The point is, you take here, you know, WW has no mass information, so it cannot be wrong, you know, either one. And in terms of rate, overall rate, you hear showing here, and with gamma is based on discovery, you know, still high there. The overall combined is consistent with standard model, 1.3 plus minus 0.3. Next thing we do is when we combine is we look into separate the production process, right? There's two kind of production process. One is through coupling to fermions like ground fusion, TTH, and the other diagram like VBF or associated production, there are through coupling to the vector bosons. So we try to separate these two, and showing here are the contours between the signal strengths for fermion coupling versus signal strength for vector boson coupling. And this we can do that if we do two just NASes. Like this for gamma, standard model there, our central value there. For the gamma, you can see we have a high rate in VBF type.
Sorry, but I think to echo Jack's point, in my mind, the most confusing thing about this part is when you say new VBF, do you mean the signal strength in the VBF tag, or do you actually mean the signal strength coming from the VBF production? Because we don't get that. Right, so what does that mean?
When it's new VBF. New VBF is from production. 30% contamination already take it out. So, yeah, so 30% contamination, two gen analysis, we go to this, because in the NAS, we separate out.
But did they process that in making that graph?
Sorry?
Did you process that information
with the 30%? Yes, in the fit, it's separate. So, In our statistics treatment, we have a prediction from VBF process in two-jet case, prediction from the ground ground fishing process in two jet case, we scale these two contributions separately. So VBF is scaled by this one, and 30% scaled by that one. So that's taking time.
Okay, so these are really theoretical.
Yes. Right. It's not two jets. Right, right. We just scale the VBF cross section by this factor, ground ground fishing crossing by this factor. Okay? And same thing for WW. WW, you can see we have ground ground fishing is high, and we have no VBF. Now, I have to be careful here. This is based on, yeah, this cannot be updated. You can see this 8 TeV is still old one, because two jets NASA for 13 TeV, 13 inverse funnel bar was not approved. And same, okay, so. Well, you know, it's internally at the end of the hour. Anyway, we have an editorial board that was too busy with many other things. Was not approved for HCP. Doesn't mean we don't have analysis. We do. Okay. So here's the plot and Jack will talk about Higgs. No, it's non-scientific reason because you know these procedures and when you push deadlines, you have you basically bottleneck. You know everything has to go to the board. They have to review 5-6 different analysis. Just didn't have time to. No, this everything proved. That's why I say, you know, for this plot here, two just you know, you have this 5.8 inverse funnel bar for WW.
Yeah.
You know, for zero just one just we had a 13 inverse funnel bar.
Right. So,
we yes, because we have two just analysis.
Yeah. So you're not
telling us. No. The probability that the exact same is zero, almost, I can guarantee you. It may not be significant change. Yeah.
The contours will be smaller, but around what point?
Yeah. All right. So here is for tall tall, and that's what Jack mentioned. So we have high in the ground fishing, low in VBF. Because our access is not from VBF. VBF, I showed you no access. So that's one thing we try to do, separate the production process according to the couplings. And the other is look at the coupling directory. So we can decompose the crossing time branch ratio in this form. And then we our procedure is try to parameterize couplings with rescale factors like partial width to a fermion pair, and you know you have scale factors for that, or partial width to fake bosons, you have scale factors. As example, look at a Higgs to gamma-gamma decays. So you look at standard model cross-section, standard branch ratio, and you look at the coupling vertices. So you have a grounds coupling from the production, so you scale up by couple grounds, and you have a Higgs decay to gamma gamma, those vertices, effective vertices, you have scale up by a couple gamma. And you have total cross total branch, total width, you scale up by a factor. Now, if you do that, there are too many rescaling factors. So what at the moment, given the statistic, we make various assumptions to reduce the number of rescale factors. For example, one example is look at fermion versus boson. You assume all the rescaling factor for fermion coupling is the same. All the rescaling factor for fake boson coupling is the same. So you have two parameters, basically. So you can make a contour fit, and you have two kind of solutions because of quadratic nature, because square here, you have actually you have more because you have the whole thing, you know. You can change your sign. We don't do.
When you do this, you're rescaling among other things,
Yeah.
So that then rescale the
blue and the blue infusion? That's right. Top coupling is rescaled by the kappa F fermion. So the cross-section will increase.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that affects the gamma gamma.
That will affect gamma gamma rate. Yeah. And right. Right. So yeah, and you can see here. You know, if we break down these ground kappa factors, in fact, there's a fermion inside it.
By the way, I think that's why the fermion frequency is negative 1 million. That's exactly the wrong region.
Yeah, I know, but I would have thought it was in the other way. That in the negative region, you enhance the gamma-gamma towards the top of the W hemisphere, constructive one. In the upper region, it's destructive.
Yeah.
That's right.
This one, you don't deal with decay at all. You just rescale the production cross section, everything. You just take a standard model rate, multiply by the rescale factor. That's it. And we're taking account, the all the contamination, because we calculate the contribution for each process in each jet being separately, and look at the source where it comes from, and the scale properly. So contamination different jet beams taking account. Yeah, this is just a scale of the standard model ratio value. So this is just basically our rate, measure rate divided by standard model. Okay, same thing on the right here is just loop coupling. You look at this, you assume all the other rescale factors one. So you just look at effective ground Higgs loop coupling, effective gamma Higgs loop coupling. Okay, everything else is assumed to be one. And you see we're consistent with standard model within 1, 2 sigma. Ground coupling rate, your cross section is high, for example.
What is high?
The cross section, your measure rate is high. Yeah, but the gamma gamma only explains for Higgs to gamma gamma. For example, Higgs WW.
Something else has to be driving.
Yeah, Higgs WW, for example, measure rate is 1.5. Yeah. Sorry? Right, yeah. Right, this is combined signal strength is like 1.3. So that's a, it's a, we contribute to the gamma gluon. Okay, my time is up. I just have one slide. I think, so nothing has really changed since summer. Discovery is still there, and we still have no conclusive results for fermions. Now we really make transition from discovery to measurement. And I think, we have a few 2 or 3 sigma effect here and there, but right now it's more headache than excitement. But you never know, right? Maybe one of those will survive. And the Tom perhaps can tell you more on Thursday. OK, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
So your WW analysis has embedded in the assumption that you're dealing with spin zero.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's another analysis was not approved for HCP. Basically, the spin CP analysis. So for that analysis, we need to do is we have to relax the cut. Because our cut right now too tight for spin 2, for example. So we relax cut and we do the analysis, and we're using your JHU models, Monte Carlos, I say that we probably have that analysis approved for Murian. And that is actually pretty mature. And nothing, it's a very mature analysis now. And we can do spin zero, spin two separations on the order of 2 sigma from WW.
With 13?
With 13.
Yeah. Oh,
we're doing it in all the channels. And unfortunately, I don't think it's on Thursday we have any spin results proved. No.
Okay.
So it's just CP.
Yeah. Spin analysis,
Right. Maybe.
I don't
know if that one is approved today or the Thursday, doesn't
matter.
Yeah. Let's go. Say it again.
Monte Carlo signal, the WW.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Including the, you say Higgs Monte Carlo, signal Monte Carlo, including? On of Higgs pole. That's a good question, I don't know. But at low mass, it doesn't matter, right? Because we're so narrow. Okay, now I know. Yeah, you're talking about this is about 10% correction at a high end. We're not including it right now. We did a study, I remember at some point, tried to rescale it. So I thought that it affected about 10%. No? Okay, we can talk more.
All right, so let's thank Kevin again.
Thanks.